Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, June 2nd, and we are your favorite talkers, it seems, if you're tuning in every day. If not, then maybe we're not your favorite talkers. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Sam.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Good, good. So, did you meet Caitlyn Jenner yet?
I've seen her.
You've seen her?
Yeah.
Okay. But you've met her new look, let's say.
Yes.
Okay. I just realized that Jenner has your name in the name.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The things that people notice, huh?
I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's right in front of me, and I thought, there's a Jen in Jenner.
Yes.
So that's pretty much what everybody's been talking about, is Bruce Jenner turning into Caitlyn Jenner. I'm just surprised the Caitlyn is not with a K, just like all the other Kardashians.
I thought the same thing. However, he actually isn't a Kardashian. So.
That's true. But, yeah, he could pitch in with another K, I suppose.
I think that he probably wants to differentiate himself from all of the family, because then his kids, before he married the Kardashian family, were all B's.
Oh, really?
Brandon, Brody, and Bert.
Oh, wow.
So then he married Chris, who had a bunch of K's.
Right.
Except for Robert. But I guess that was because of his dad, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Did you know of his dad? I mean, do you remember him from the
OJ
trial?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I know. That's where the name became famous, you know. And at the time, nobody knew about the Kardashians at all.
Right.
Only after his death, I guess, they emerged. But so do we now refer to Bruce as her now and just call him Caitlyn? I mean, it seems like the media now calls him her or she.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to take some time for people to get used to.
Right.
Because clearly it's happening so fast and right before our eyes. Like, we saw the Diane Sawyer interview, then it happened on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and now he's already emerging. So what we saw in the Diane Sawyer interview was him talking about her and saying what he may or may not have done.
Right.
And then on the TV show, he's still him, you know, talking with all the kids about what changes are coming. But because that was shot so long ago, all of these changes already happened.
Right.
So we're like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
Here you are. But I guess the timing for them works. I mean, one thing happens a week, basically. I think that was like, you know, Diane Sawyer was a couple weeks ago. Then it was the show. And now he has emerged as a she. Mm-hmm. And she even signed up for Twitter yesterday. And within 4 hours, had over 1 million followers.
Wow.
Beating President Obama.
Right. Wow. My question, though, is, you know what I did notice is there was a lot of outpouring of support for her. There's no doubt about it. But I noticed more women are accepting of this than men are. I wonder why. In other words, I mean, maybe men feel the same way for the most part. Maybe they're also embracing it and stuff. But the fact is, I didn't see anybody. I mean, I saw a couple of posts by men, and they weren't very nice posts. Like that it's been photoshopped and stuff. But everybody gets photoshopped these days, you know.
Right.
Everything gets retouched. But he did a pretty good job, huh?
Yeah.
People are comparing to Jessica Lange now.
Yeah. He definitely looks like her.
You can see a little bit in that, yeah.
Listen, he looks better than most
women at
his
age.
Yeah, so.
At his age, right? How old is he? 50 something?
65.
65 already? Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, who has a body like that? He had it all sculpted, obviously.
No, he's also been fit his whole life.
That's true, but he's got like a woman's body now.
Well, he got,
with the hips and stuff. And
I think that he also got he obviously got a boob job and probably has like some waist cincher like all the other Kardashians. I would guess they probably help him. And he looks great.
Yeah.
She looks great.
I know. Legs and everything, you know. Wow. Go figure. I mean, today there's all kinds of miracles.
I think, though, what he, she, I guess she is doing, well, I'll say what he is doing because he became a she. So what he did was put this in the forefront of everyone's mind, and hopefully people will feel okay with, you know, being themselves or saying, you know, well, Bruce Jenner did it. Right. And that's like the most televised family in the United States. Right. It's like our own reality TV royalty. So if he could do something like that, then other people should feel free to come out and be who they want to be.
Right. And that's good. I mean, this becomes an inspiration for transgender people. And I can't imagine how difficult their lives must be.
Yeah.
Being a transgender, you know? It's probably even harder than being gay.
You know,
because you're so different.
Right.
And you take drastic steps to change your gender, then it's pretty impactful, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's why there's been, you know, so many comments about the whole thing. It's not because, you know, he looks pretty, but it's because of what he's doing.
Right, right.
He's changing, like, what's allowed or what's accepted.
Right.
So.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine, I don't know what middle America is saying, you know, or people that are super religious or any of that, but if it's, you can't go without seeing a post about it.
Right.
And that's the important thing.
That's true, yeah. So obviously it stirred conversation in this country. And, yeah, I mean, who are we to stop someone from being what they want to be?
Right. Which is, I mean, my take, your take, but not everyone feels that way.
No, not everybody. A lot of people feel that everybody should live the way they live. And that's unfortunate. And you get these people on both sides, from the right and the left. It's just the extremes always want to impose their understanding, their way of life on other people.
Right. Well, I mean, it also goes back to like the Bible and what the Bible said. But the Bible also never said use cell phones or drive cars.
Okay.
I mean, and those are just things. But like times
change.
Yeah, but
those are not like values and things.
No,
like
but
that.
Times change and you have to adjust with those things.
That I agree. I think religion was created really for other times, for ancient times.
Like that was the thing to do, was to be religious. Like.
Right. And they've just carried this over. And the thing is that, look, it can maintain a people's identity and everything in history and culture. But at the same time, come on, you know, I mean, you can't just like carry this over for millennia and expect people to still subscribe to that.
No, I think the golden rule plus tradition, like family tradition, is probably the way to go.
Right. But you do have to admit that I think, I mean, most of our Western laws are based on the Ten Commandments and laws in the Bible. I mean, thou shalt not kill and all that stuff.
Right.
It started, you know, I mean, I can imagine in some societies maybe it's okay to kill. Maybe back then it was okay to kill. But the bottom line is the Bible, when you look at it, it was meant to maintain a society, you know, of people so they'll be able to get along and get somewhere. You know, and without all these like limitations on people, people will go crazy. You know, they do all kinds of things that are not conducive to a good society and they wouldn't last, you know, so they wouldn't endure. So I agree with you. You know, I mean, religion really, I think, should be a personal thing. Everybody should believe whatever they want. They should be able to without feeling pressured or that they would be persecuted and things like that.
Yeah.
You know? So
I mean, people were cross-dressing way back in the day. Like, men were dressing like women because they could be the only ones that, like, played female parts in plays. And plays were how they entertained themselves. So men would dress as women.
How long ago was that?
I mean, a million years ago. Yeah. Not a million, obviously, but like, I don't know, Shakespearean times, the Grecian times. If you like go back through like Greek theater history, that's who was playing female characters.
Wow.
So they had to dress like women.
Yeah.
But no one said that's against the religion.
Yeah.
They just said that's entertainment of the times.
Right. But the Greeks didn't really have a religion, you know, so.
Well, what about Greek Orthodox?
Well, that's after Christianity, which came later. Came during the Romans. But yeah, but I mean, essentially it makes total sense, you know. So yeah, so it's amazing how women have been treated throughout history, you know. And you can see it in religion too.
Right.
You know, women are like possessions, you know, and the extreme I mean, the very religious Jews also, you know, I mean, they'll tell you, oh, no, the woman is respected and cherished and things like this. Well, maybe it's true, but the way they behave is not like that at all.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you don't let women participate in the culture and society, then it's pretty much the way Sharia law is, you know, for Muslims and stuff. They also, consider women like second-class citizens. And
well, it's not that extreme at this point, but yes, there is still a difference between how men and women are treated.
Oh, yeah, between the religions, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not as drastic.
Obviously, but it's also pretty drastic, I think, to exclude women in that way. I mean, there's in Hebrew, there's a prayer that thanks God for not making me a woman. Yeah. So,
well, I can okay. So, I would understand that if you think about it, like physiologically, like they don't have to be hormonal or have babies.
I don't think that's what they meant, right?
Yes, definitely not. But sometimes I'm like, why, God, why?
Yeah.
Why did I have to be this?
All right. Well, our guest is calling in, so we might as well take that. And we're expecting, I guess, Precious Jackson, right? I'm like looking on the email here because I had spoken to someone else about this. And we're joined by Precious Jackson. Are you with us, Precious?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Of course. And now let's say you were with an organization called Helping Hands Patient Services. Where are you guys located? In L.A. here?
Yes. Our administrative offices are in Inglewood, California.
Uh-huh. And so yes. Is this just an L.A. thing, or do you provide services in other places as well? Do you have other locations, or is this pretty much the main one?
Currently, right now, we are in California.
Right.
In the near future, we look to branch out into different states outside of California.
I see. So, but you are in other cities in California as well?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, sounds good. So it's pretty big. When did you guys start this? Well, tell us first how you are one of the executives. It says you're the COO, right?
Yes, I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Helping Hands Patient Services, and we are a limited liability corporation.
Okay. And when was...
And our...
Go ahead.
Sorry?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. So just to give you a little bit about who we are, like I said, we are a limited liability corporation, and our mission is to provide safe patient handling, improve patient comfort, safety, and recovery, and prevent employee injuries through skillful, compassionate, and respectful patient care.
Mm. Wow. When was this started?
We started in July of last year.
Oh, okay, good. And were you one of the founders?
Yes. It's myself and my brother, Michael Lee.
Uh-huh. Wow. So
yes.
I see. Okay, so it's your baby.
Yes, it is. It is.
Awesome. What did you do before that?
Before that, I worked in the a social work field. So I have like over 20 years of doing social services.
Right. So that probably prompted you to realize services like this are needed.
This is correct. This is correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do too. You know, I have aging parents now, and they're frail, and they need assistance and stuff. And I thought this is very relevant because I think eventually everybody has to deal with this, and whether it's their parents or themselves, and they need care. They need assistance with living. So so tell
That's
us.
That's correct.
Right.
That was one of the reasons why we started Helping Hands Patient Services, because both my brother and I, we had to take care of our grandparents and our dad. So we understand personally, we have experience in being able to take care of our loved ones. And the reason why we did it is because we didn't want our loved ones to go into a convalescent home. Because some people know that convalescent homes some are good and some are not as good.
Right.
But when a patient can be in their home around their family, their quality of life is so much better.
Right. And that's what we concluded, you know, when in the family, my brothers and I were trying to make a decision of what would be the best for my parents. And and we decided that it's probably best if you give them some kind of autonomy, some kind of independence, so they feel that they're not completely reliant on their family.
This is correct.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So
absolutely.
So you're saying that people that are aging, they can still stay at home, they can still lead a normal life and have people help them. I know. So like, so you send an assistant to the patient's house, and so what kind of help do they do? Like help them dress and cook and things like that?
Well, it depends on what the loved one needs. It depends on what the family is requesting.
Right.
So what we do is we will go in and we will assess, sit down with the family, sit down with the patient, find out what the patient needs. Sometimes the patient may be in a situation where they need assistance in bathing, having their meals prepared, having a companion to sit and talk with, having someone to take them out for maybe grocery shopping, or you know, take them to get a haircut or go to the senior citizen.
Right.
So are these people considered mm-hmm. nurses, or are they something else?
I'm sorry?
Are these the people that you have on staff that come to help the elderly, are they considered nurses?
CNA, Certified Nursing Assistant, yes.
Oh, nursing assistant.
Yes.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. see. Wow. So,
and we also have wellness sitters as well. Uh-huh. So wellness sitters are considered like companions, and they keep the patient company. They provide a social support, emotional support, and they may provide light meal preparation,
right,
and giving them, and also administering medication right. if needed.
Right. And very interesting. So you have all kinds of services. You provide hospital services, lift technicians. What's a lift technician?
So what is so unique about HHPS is the fact that we are the only company in the state of California that certifies our lift technicians.
Uh-huh.
And they are part of what they call the nursing staff. And so they assist the nurses with rotating patients, turning patients, repositioning the patient. And lift technicians are utilized for obese patients, you know, patients that may be 250 pounds
right.
or higher.
Right.
They also are for individuals who are maybe paraplegic or who may have had like extensive surgery and can't move or bedridden. And the purpose of having the lift technicians is to take the strain and stress off of the nurses.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries that nurses face, as in back injuries, neck injuries. And the purpose of the lift technicians is to roll the patients over so they do not acquire pressure ulcers.
Right. Wow. Yeah. But it's amazing all the things that you have to think about and deal with when you're dealing with aging people. And you have to consider every little thing, you know. I mean, like with my dad, he's got Parkinson's now, so we have to take off his socks and help him dress and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it can put strain on the family after a while, having to care for the elderly. And so your services come in and actually help people out so they don't have to spend their entire time caring for their parents.
That's correct.
Yeah. Very cool. So now people would probably want to know, is this pretty affordable? I mean, can people get any assistance for services like this as far as like from the government or something?
At this time, if you have Medi-Cal, Medicare,
uh-huh.
At this time, we're currently not taking that right now. We
okay.
are in the process of getting it.
Right.
So for our in-home service providing services.
Right.
We are taking cash-paying patients.
Right.
And then we also gear towards hospitals and long-term care facilities.
Right.
Where we outsource our CNAs, certified lift technicians, and wellness fitters.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, and I guess people can find out more about costs and everything when you contact. The website is helpinghandspatientservices.com, and you can find out everything about Precious's company. And this is amazing. So do you have like a regular staff, or do you guys hire on a as-needed basis?
Okay, can you repeat the question one more time?
Yeah. Do you guys have like your own caretakers as opposed to independent people that you just hire and have them do this? I mean, are they like part of the company, or are they independent contractors, the people that you work with?
Currently at this time, we do hire independent contractors, but we're like a family, though.
Right. So, I can't imagine. Yeah.
But they are independent contractors, yes.
Very cool. All right. Well, everybody check out the website. You can call. There's contact information and everything. If you're in California, definitely check this out. These are services I feel are needed to help people really continue to live a normal life, because I think as people age, they really don't want to be in a home, you know. Maybe some do, but for the most part, I think people would prefer just to continue their normal life at home. Right.
This is correct. And I also would like to, Sam, if you don't mind,
sure.
I would like to give out our social media outlets.
Okay.
We're also on Facebook,
uh-huh,
under Helping Hands Patient Services. We're under LinkedIn.
Okay.
We're also under Twitter at HHPS_1.
Okay. Sounds good. So you guys probably tweet and everything. People can get more information and contact you directly. And,
And we also have an 800 number, too, so I'd like
okay.
to do that.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so our toll-free number is 855-401-2504.
Sounds good. And everybody that's interested, I think, very interesting, very relevant, you know, and everybody's got parents. And I thought the moment would never come, but it has arrived, and we really have to assist them. And but we can't be the 24/7, you know, with
this
them.
Is so, correct. And so this is the reason why Helping Hands Patient Services would definitely be the company that you could depend on.
Right. Well, very cool. Precious Jackson, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Congratulations on your business, and much success to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sam, and you guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you,
you too.
Very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. I just, you know, I mean, nobody wants to think of these times, you know, when they have to care for their parents and stuff, but it's inevitable, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta be there. You gotta be there for them. I mean, I know that I would, I would want to continue that kind of life. I don't know that I'd want a home, although it's got some benefits to it, you know, where you can be around people and stuff. You're not alone,
right?
But you know, if your parents are living together and stuff, and they keep each other company, then yeah, you know, I mean, I think they're candidates for something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still want to put all of my family, like when they become elderly, in one house.
Right.
And then just hire staff.
Right.
A chef, a physical therapist, a housekeeper, yeah, a driver.
Well, you better start earning a lot of money.
No.
They'll pool their money.
Yeah, they'll pool their money. That's why they have policies and all that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, and savings for retirement.
Yeah, they have their stuff being set up. So.
Yeah. Cool. That's a good idea. It's a good idea. That's if they get along, of course.
Yeah, I don't know that they want to live together, but I don't know that they're going to have a choice either.
Yeah, you'd like them to. That's all that matters, right?
Right, exactly. Well, all of the cousins would like that, because then we could visit all of our parents at the same
That's
time.
That's true, at the same time. One fell swoop.
Exactly. I mean, we have family dinner every Sunday anyway. They might as well just live together.
Yeah, that's true. But they're different parts of the country.
Well, they'd all have to be in the same part.
Yeah, there you go.
They'd have to come to California.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, they'd have to come here.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Did you hear about this luxury ship that capsized in China? 400 people missing.
It's a luxury ship?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I missed that when I read it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it says, after luxury ship capsizes. So, I mean, obviously it's not a, it's not as big as those cruise lines that have thousands of people
right.
on them. But at the same time, and this was on the river, on the Yangtze River. And that's so a pretty big river.
I think only four people have died, though, right?
Well, the same 400 are missing, so I don't know how. You mean that those are the dead ones that they found?
Maybe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows how many are missing, man? How
that's scary. Crazy.
I know. And they're saying it was a tornado or something?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. That's pretty bad.
I didn't know there were tornadoes over there.
I know. Well, maybe they call them something else, but. No, here they describe a tornado, so I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, a lot of stuff going on, you know. Okay, so we talked enough about Bruce Jenner, right?
Yes.
There's not much more to add at this point. Other than, I guess the message is, go with your heart.
Yeah.
You know? So he's got, what, two daughters from, like, his biological daughters? How many does he have? Do you know?
Two.
Okay. And they're okay with it, obviously, right? They're supporting him and everything. That's good. That's important, you know? That's the thing. I mean, when you have friends and family and stuff, you can't sit back there and judge them or exclude them from the family or whatever, you know? I mean, it's not... I don't think a person would choose to be that because it's so hard to be. You know, the same I think with gayness. I don't think it's someone that, like, is a straight person that decides, you know what, I'll be gay. I mean, why would they want to? It's such a hard life.
I don't know, but not every family is accepting.
Yeah.
Some people are estranged and disown their kids or their family members, so.
Yeah, but you got to remember, man, L-O-V-E. That's what it's all about, right?
Yep.
So what else is going on? We still have 20 minutes to talk, and we haven't really...
There's a lot in the news.
Right. So this woman was mauled and killed by a lion at a South African wild park.
Was she just out and about?
No, they were in the car, but the windows were open. And I guess what happened was they were at a short distance, and she... sort of like opened the window to take a picture, I guess, or something. And that was it. The lion attacked her, lunged at her. And I guess the driver, the tour operator, was trying to help her, but he was hurt too.
Oh, no.
Because of it. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, the thing is, why go where the animals live?
You know, well, I think it's cool to see. Like, people love going on safaris.
It is cool to see.
I would like to go on a safari, but I would hope that it would be safe.
Yeah. Well, how safe can it be? I mean, look, how many people, like, end up, if they grow, like, wild animals at home and then the animals turn on them and things like that, you know? I mean, what do you expect? You're with a wild animal.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think, they don't really think, oh, I want to kill this person or something. They're just like, they do what lions do.
Right.
So, yeah, so close your windows. I remember when I was in South Africa and we drove to Cape Town, there were baboons on the roadside. So we pulled up to a clearing, and it was my friend and me, and we were... So we just wanted to see them. There was a whole pack of them, like a whole family of baboons. And so, obviously, we closed the windows, you know. And he's familiar with that because he's lived there all his life. And he's like, yeah, let's close the windows. And sure enough, they started climbing on the car and everything. It was amazing. You know, I mean, like from the windshield, it's like you're, you know, a few inches from them.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Hold on.
Bless you.
A sneeze. That's a first on the show.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever sneezed on the
ever?
Show. I don't recall. Yeah. That's funny.
Well, bless you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I like sneezing. Do you like sneezing?
No.
It opens up everything. It's a good relief.
I don't like it because it always happens at the worst time.
Yeah, I guess. But when you're alone, it's okay, yeah. I guess. Right?
The worst is when you're driving and you sneeze because your eyes shut.
Yeah, I know. That's scary.
That is really scary.
Yeah, I know. I got to tell you, you know, with the Uber driving and stuff, the other night, I was stopped. It was a dark, small street, and I was at the stop sign. And, you know, I had just been called for to pick up somebody. So I'm, like, looking at my phone, which is attached to the dash. It's not like I'm holding it. But suddenly this guy, like, walks right in front. He's like, well, he called me not a very nice name. But I felt like, oh, my God. You know, I could have run them over or something. You know? But because people jump right in front of your car. I mean, why would you do that?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, as pedestrians, I think you have to have a certain amount of responsibility, too. Like, not to jump in front of driving cars.
I'm very cautious of other people. So I agree with that. People should be cautious. And while, yes, the pedestrians have the right of way, you still have to be careful.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're not going to get hit.
Right, exactly. And that's why I get mad at people that don't look because... you know, it's just like they expect you to see them. And I would never put my life in the driver's hand like that, you know, by trusting that they will see you and they will slow down.
Yeah.
And stop. You know, don't bet on it.
No.
So you get, I mean, you cross the street. When you're a little kid, they teach you how to cross the street.
Right.
You know, so they do that. But all I have to say is, you know, you never know when it might come up. I saw an accident yesterday on the 405 at night, and it was this big rig truck ran over this, or I don't know how it happened, but against the pickup truck, and the pickup truck was totally like spinned against in the wrong direction. I don't know what happened there, man, but I think texting and all that has a lot to do with it now. And I never text, while I'm driving. I never try to get distracted by the phone. I have a Bluetooth, so I don't have to really do anything.
Me too.
But, you know, now driving for Uber, I have to be extremely careful. Cause
what happens if you crash? Is the company liable or you? Or
no, you have insurance. That's why you have to have insurance to do that. But, you know what? You know how I told you that I had this this incident with the three young women that came in and I pressed the app and it just completed the trip before we even took off. So she was charged $5 and I just told them I felt bad. So I just took them to their destination without really being on the app. And then I found out that you're not covered by, or the insurance won't cover you if you're driving off of the app. It's got to follow you where you go.
Got it.
Yeah. So I learned. We'll see how I'll handle it next time something like that happens. So, yeah. So you want to hear about Uber. Not many downsides to it. I'm still very pleased with it.
That's good.
Yeah. And but I got to tell you, man, the biggest downside is not knowing where you're going to go. Because yesterday I was in Woodland Hills, which is the end of the valley. And I was hoping I'd gone to visit my parents. And I thought, well, I'm sure one of the rides will be somewhere to where I live. Ended up being in Arcadia. Have you heard of Arcadia?
I have. I don't know where it is, though.
Yeah, I didn't either. Well, it's 35 miles away from here.
That's pretty far.
I know. So what do you say? You know, you got to take the freeways and stuff. Fortunately, the freeways were good. The traffic was heavy, but not really stop and go. So I was lucky that way. But you also have to remember, you know, it's not like a taxi where you can pick up a ride back. I mean, here again, you don't know where you're going. So if I try to pick up somebody in Arcadia, I could have ended up in San Bernardino or something. You know,
yeah, yeah.
And keep getting farther from home. So you have to drive back empty without a passenger, and you have to count that as part of the trip. You know, I mean, obviously, it's your time and your gas.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to think about all these things. You really do.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. So I'm finding new things every day. And I just don't understand why so many people liked my post that I'm driving for Uber. But, you know, maybe people just admire that somebody takes a job, any job, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah, that people work and stuff. But...
But where it doesn't did you post really it feel, on Facebook?
Yeah, I just said, you know, after my first day, I said, you know, just finished my first day driving. So, yeah, so there's like a lot of likes. I don't know why. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'd recommend it for some people. Like, my son's going to get into it now. And for him, it's perfect. You know, he's a college student. He's on vacation now, summer break. And would be perfect for him. And for me, it's just enjoyable, you know. Then I got another guy. I was close to home. I thought, well, maybe I'll find something short. Going to the airport. The moment I pulled up, I see suitcases. Airport. But look, it was 11 o'clock at night. It's right. No big deal. We got there in 20 minutes.
That's true.
Yeah. So, you know, that's why I prefer to drive at night. But... You know, even during the day.
But I'm still confused how you have time, because you said you work till like 2 in the morning every day.
I know. Well, I did work till 4:30.
Well,
Jen, I'll tell you when I do it. Between 9 and midnight is, actually, yesterday was the first time I did it during a work day. So yeah, I did it from about.
Well, then how do you get all those other things you need to get done?
From 11 till 4.
Aye.
And during the day, too.
Well, as long as you figure it out.
I know. Like, look, when I want to do something, I'll squeeze it in. Doesn't matter what, you know.
Yeah.
So now just imagine if I started dating now, where I would be.
I don't think you have time.
I don't think I'd have time for a woman, but I feel I need somebody. I don't know.
Whatever happened to all your dating apps?
I'm sort of like, I don't have time for them. It's too much time and nothing happens out of it.
It is a lot of time.
Yeah. Eventually everybody drops out and stuff.
I gave my phone to my friend this weekend and I said, you talk to everyone for me.
Yeah.
And she did.
Really?
And now I've got to keep the conversations going because she's not with me anymore. But she was great at it. So now I'm talking to a couple of people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I find that I don't have time to write back to them because I'm always in the car. So when I'm going from thing to thing and, you know, working when I'm actually at a place, yeah. I don't have any time to write back to these people. So it's like a very slow process and they probably think I'm not interested and I feel bad. But
yeah,
ultimately I go from show to show and then otherwise I'm in the car. So sorry.
Yeah.
And then dinner and then the gym. And it's like, at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't have time to text with you and start a start a relationship over text.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing how we fill our lives with so many different things, you know. We're like, I mean, it's a really hectic lifestyle that we all live here. Most of us, you know, people that work.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the people that are actors and they wait for something to happen.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. I am always busy.
Yeah.
And I'm never like... too busy where it feels hectic, but it's busy all the time.
Right. Keeps you going from one place to the
and
other.
And I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I also don't know where I'd squeeze someone in.
Yeah.
I'd have to skip like all the like chit chat in the beginning and just start like, okay, I know I'll see them like a couple times a week at night.
Right.
And then call it a day.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, but if somebody wants more, it's not going to work out.
Well, hopefully it would.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you really like them and stuff, then you'd start making more time.
Yeah, it's really hard.
I know. Well, look at it this way. You wouldn't have to go out looking for guys and stuff, you know. You'd have your own. And
yeah.
So that's more time that you'd be saving.
I mean, I guess they say that, you know, if you really want something, you'll make time for it. That's otherwise, true. You don't really want it. People that's do true. What they want to do.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I wanted to make time for Uber, so I am. So you're right. And I do make time. I make time when I do go out and stuff. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's interesting. So the guy that was going to the airport, very interesting guy, you know. So we were talking. He's into motorcycles and stuff and motorcycle accessories. And so we're, like, talking about our lives. He's also divorced, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I was looking for, you know, just some fun to connect with people and stuff. You know, I don't know. It's fun. I realize that I enjoy driving when it's not stop and go.
Yeah.
You know, I do. So I don't know. I still don't know why I'm doing this, Jen.
I don't know either.
I'm just enjoying it. And I don't know why I'm even looking forward to it. It's crazy. But it's good. It's a good thing, right? Better than being jaded.
I guess if it makes you happy, then it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I don't know if it makes me happy, but it's something.
Okay.
It's something to do. I wouldn't say I'm happy because of it, but yeah, something to do. Another experience to scratch off the bucket list, I guess.
All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I tried Lyft, but I was very impatient. I guess, look, like weeknights, like a Monday night would probably be pretty slow. So,
weren't you only going to do it on the weekend?
Was I?
Yeah.
No, I think I said evenings and weekends.
Oh.
Yeah. Not all the time, of course, but yeah.
Sounds like you're getting addicted.
Well, it's something to get addicted to, you know, but no, that's not it, you know. It's just I'm thinking the main reason is also, like, you know, I finish work at 9 here at the studio running video shows, and then I'm thinking I don't want to go home now, you know. I've been home most of the day working. I don't want to go home now and start working again, so that's when I take the break. So, you know, sometimes I would just, like, maybe go to the bookstore until 10 o'clock in the evening and then go home or something. Or, you know, meet somebody for dinner or something. But 9:30, there's no place open, you know. Last night after I dropped the guy off, I'm, like, looking for food. I thought, you know what, maybe in Westwood it'll be open at 11 o'clock or 10:30, 11. No such thing, man. And the places that were open, you couldn't find place to park or anything. So.
Yeah, Westwood, there's no parking.
Yeah, and even late at night. So I just left. I thought, okay, the hell with it. One ride is enough for the evening, and I'll go home and eat. And that's what I did, you know.
Well, that's
but
good.
I just need to discipline myself, really, to go to sleep early. It's not healthy at all. It really isn't.
I've been hearing about this for months.
I know, and I'm trying not to talk about it, but, you know, some people
or
wonder.
Just do it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just do it. Don't complain about it. That's true.
I mean, you're welcome to complain all you want. However, there are solutions to your complaints,
right.
So you might as well do them.
Yeah, people don't want to hear about
it. Well, it'll just solve your problem so quickly. Like, I want to go to sleep earlier, so I go to sleep earlier.
Right, just do it, right? Yeah. I know, I keep saying that. But now it's going to be worse if I drive. You know, I'll have more stuff to do.
Right.
So we'll see. I don't know. My life will get balanced soon, I'm sure.
You know how that happens?
How?
When you balance it.
Jen the practical, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you have answers. That's cool.
Thanks.
So, you know, we were talking about this this patient care and stuff, and this is similar to... I mean, do you want to promote your mom's thing, too?
It's in Miami, so I don't know if that's helpful.
So what? We have listeners in
Miami. I don't actually know what her company... Oh, it's called RX Home Healthcare. And here's the thing. So I've heard a lot of horror stories over the years because my mom's worked in that business since I was born.
Really?
And that's all I've ever seen her do. So she, though, is a very passionate person. So... I would hear her just screaming at the top of her lungs about what poor customer service companies would give their patients and their patients' families.
Yeah.
So my mom, I think, maybe even created a role for herself in these companies because she's the liaison between the company and the doctors as the marketing professional. However, she takes it one step further, and once she has connected the patient to the home healthcare company, which normally, I think, would be the end of her job for that particular case.
Right.
She connected them. That was it. Her marketing services have been completed. No. Jan will then call the patient every single day and say, do you enjoy your care? Are they doing everything they need to be doing for you? Are you happy? And, like, she's also then the quality care professional,
right,
which is, it's like she's made herself like a 360-degree job,
uh-huh,
where she is now customer service. She's the marketing professional. She will make house calls. She just does everything. And really, she should own her own company because she would be the best care provider there would be.
That's true.
Because she genuinely cares about the patient. Now, there are nurses that just take the job, like you said, the independent contractors, and they're not great at bedside manner. And they don't care about these patients because it's just a client to them.
Right, and that's terrible, you know, because in that line of work, you really have to care.
Right, so it is a scary thing. I mean, any service provider, like a nanny even, like I would be terrified just putting my child in a stranger's hands, same as my parents in a stranger's hands.
Right.
I would need to vet the person, and like, I mean, I remember my grandparents would just send people away and be like, not you, next.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a tricky job because you're dealing with personalities and you're dealing with like somebody's care and their home, and you're inviting somebody into your house, and it's...
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, when my parents were still in Israel, we would send them like the same thing, you know, like people to take care of them. My mom wouldn't even let them last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like... You know, I don't want anybody in my house. I don't want anybody doing that. So now that they're here, we can help them with that. So, but let me tell you, Jen, it's not easy. It's not easy, and they're still in pretty good shape, I would say, relatively speaking. But it's not easy, and I can see, like, when I have to help my dad get up and stuff, I mean, God, he's big. He's heavy, you know? I mean, he's heavy because he's...
A person.
Right.
He's not a baby.
Yeah. But he's not fat or anything. Yeah. You know, so not exceptionally so. So it's difficult. And now I understand those lift technicians and what they do.
Yeah.
They help lift you.
I mean, imagine then when they drop somebody.
Yeah, wow.
My aunt's mom was dropped in a home, like the facility she was in. And then somehow the nurse just like dropped her. Wow. And what do you do?
Yeah.
You can't take her out just because of that. And you hope that that person doesn't drop her again. And you hope she's not injured. And then if she is injured, whose fault is it? So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we beat that topic to death. finally, I guess there's a new Barbie coming out. And they're saying it's too creepy because it talks back to you. And... Yeah.
Talks back in what way?
And it can listen and talk back. So in what way? I don't know. It probably has a computer chip that sort of like recognizes things and or words or something. And I mean, if we've got Siri, then a Barbie probably wouldn't be too difficult to make.
Right. Why is it creepy, though?
Because, I don't know, they're saying little girls have always talked to their Barbies, but now the Barbie will actually listen and talk back.
I wonder what Barbie says. She better be nice.
I know.
I feel like Barbie's a mean girl.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's nothing new that the dolls can talk.
No.
I mean, we've had that for
But that
ages.
They can think on their own.
Right.
That's like a different. Robot is different.
I know.
And, like, compute. So.
God, man. We're making machines in our image. All right, well, Jen, that's it for today. Another successful show. Have a great week. Tomorrow's Wednesday, so we're fast approaching the weekend.
Oh, gosh.
So take care, everyone, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen. Right here on LA Talk Radio.